There are two major things that I'm very strongly inspired about for tonight's service, and I depend on the Holy Spirit to help me follow through with the clearance, the light, the direction that I have in my spirit regarding these two major areas of inspiration that I have received for this service. The first one has to do with the word that the Lord spoke to us as we came into this new season, as we approach the middle part of the year of 2021. When we got into this new season, the Lord spoke very clearly and impressed upon our spirit. This will be a season of favor for us. It will be a season of favor, and we will receive the favor of God like the former rain and the latter rain. It will be so much, it will be one grace on another, one favor on another, one spiritual blessing after the other, and gift heaped upon gift. The Lord spoke those words to us very, very clearly. And tonight, the first area of my inspiration, the first direction that I want to go in is I want to speak those words out. I want us to look at a couple of scriptures and again re-emphasize. I want to put those words in the atmosphere. I want to declare them just like the Lord did. And as I speak them, as we hear them, I want to encourage you to take hold of it, because the Lord says He would come to us as favor like the rain. He will come to us as favor like the rain. It will be overwhelming. It will be abundant. It will be super abounding. And I'm going to look closely into that word tonight. I'm going to have us focus on it. And we're going to, again, just for a few minutes before we go back into our teachings on the seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. We're going to get back into that series of lessons and teachings tonight. And over there, when we get to that, there is a second, a particular major inspiration that I have in my spirit, a direction that I'm going to go in when we get there. And I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But let's start out here and go to Hosea. I hope you have your Bibles. Hosea, the book of Hosea, and chapter 6, the book of Hosea, chapter 6, and from verse 1 to verse 3. It says here, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He has turned and He will heal us. He has smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight." Amen. In the third verse, Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He is going forth, is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Look at what it says. "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He is going forth, is prepared as the morning, and He shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." In this season, the Lord wants to come to us as the spring, the rain of the spring, the former and the latter rain unto the earth. He wants to come to us as the rain, an outpouring of His grace, an outpouring of His mercy, an outpouring of spiritual blessings, an outpouring of favor, an outpouring of gift heaped upon gift. Amen. In the Amplified Version of Hosea chapter 6, verse 3, it says, yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord. That is, however much we feel we know him now, he says that's nothing. Let's be zealous to know him more. Let's be zealous to get closer to him. Let's be zealous to press further into him. Let's become a people that are God chasers. We have been a people devoted, aspiring, following, committing to the things of God, the purpose of God. We've done it for years. We've done it since the beginning of this year. But can you imagine this? The Lord is saying, whatever we know, whatever we have done so far, that's almost like ground zero. He wants us to step up. He wants us to press further into him. Let us know him more, he says. Let us recognize him more, he says. Let us be acquainted more with him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to him, and to cherish him. Yes, let's become God chasers. We're chasing after God. There's a song several years ago that was very popular in the body of Christ. I'm chasing after you. Where God chases. I'm chasing after you with everything. I'm chasing after you with everything. Well, let's return there. Let's chase after him with everything. And you might be thinking, but I've been doing a lot of that. Yes, praise God. And the Lord is saying, good job. But that's ground zero. Let's mount up with wings as the eagle. Let's become more, even more zealous to go after him, to press into God, to chase after God. He said he's going forth, is prepared and certain as the dawn. He's going forth for you and for me. Is certain, is undoubted as the morning light. As the dawn of the morning. And he will come to us. He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. The Lord will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Beloved, you know already, I believe, that the word of God is infallible. You know already, he is not a man that he should lie. So when the Lord says, I will come to you, oh man, you better get yourself ready. Because that means he's coming to you, he's going to come to you like he never has before, at a level, at a dimension like we have never experienced before. Hallelujah. He's coming unto us will be as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Go further with me there. Just flip a few pages forward to Hosea chapter 10. The book of Hosea still, chapter 10 and verse 12. Listen to what it says. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up every fallow ground, break up every fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. The Amplified Version says, sow for yourselves according to righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. Sow for yourselves. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for the Lord, and to inquire of the Lord. And then he says, to require his favor. To require his favor until he comes and teaches you righteousness and rains his righteous gifts, including the gift of salvation, mercy, favor, blessing upon you. Listen to what it says. Sow for yourselves according to righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God. Reap according to mercy. So there is mercy available to help us reap. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up every fallow ground. Break up every idle ground. Break up every uncultivated ground. The ones that you know, the ones that you are aware of, there will always be fallow ground. There will always be uncultivated ground around our lives. We don't see all of them at once from where we stand, but there are some of them we immediately see. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your uncultivated ground. What's fallow ground? What's that? Idle ground. What's that? A ground you have not possessed. A ground you have not tilled. A part of your inheritance that you have not walked yet. That is idle, dormant. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your uncultivated ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. It's not time to wallow in despair. It's not time to be a beggar. It's not time to doubt your inheritance. It's not time to be double-minded about the promises of God. It is time to seek the Lord and to require his favor. Require his favor. That is, the Lord says, I will come to you in favor as the rain, the latter rain, the former rain and the latter rain. It is time now then to require that favor. The Lord promised me favor. I require favor. I demand favor. The Lord promised me favor as the rain. I require it. I ask for it. I demand it. In the name of Jesus, favor as the rain, favor as the rain, favor to organize things around my life, to make sure, to help me ensure that I maximize the blessings of God in every area of my life. Favor to enable me rearrange situations and circumstances, reorganize situations, to ensure that I lay hold on every aspect of my inheritance in God. I require that favor. I demand that favor in the name of Jesus. He says, then he will come and he will teach you righteousness and he will rain his righteous gift. He says, the gift of salvation. And you know there are other gifts. The gift of favor, the gift of spiritual blessings, the gift of material blessings, open doors, the gift of physical blessings, the gift of material, the gift of open heavens. He said he will come. He will rain down that gift upon you. Hallelujah. In Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible tells us to ask for the rain. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask, ask, ask. Gather the required, the requisite confidence that is needed to ask, to demand, to require. Ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. To everyone grass in the field. He said the Lord will make bright clouds when you ask. Hosea 6 and Hosea 10, he said to require. To require. I require the favor of God. I demand. Here he says to ask of the Lord. He promised, so then ask him for it. Receive that rain in the time of the latter rain. Don't assume, he said, I'll come to you as the rain. Well, it's automatic. No, ask for the rain. Ask for the rain. I require the favor of God. Ask for the rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers. The Lord will make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Hallelujah. This rain that the Lord promises, the Bible compares it with the favor of God. The rain, this latter rain, this rain the Lord promised is akin to the favor of God. You know how goodly it is when after a time of drought, a time of dryness, a time of just weariness, rain comes, the refreshing of God, rain comes. That's why he says in Proverbs, Chapter 16, Proverbs 16, 15, he describes this rain as the favor of God. Proverbs 16, 15. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. That line, that phrase, his favor as a cloud of the latter rain, in the Amplified says, his favor is as a cloud bringing the spring rain. His favor always brings the rain. His favor always brings the outpouring. His favor always brings the overwhelming outpouring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1 verse 16, which is the scripture that the Lord spoke to us from at the very beginning of the year, John chapter 1 verse 16 in the Amplified, he said, for out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we have all received. Out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we have all received. We all had a share. And we were all supplied with one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Out of his abundance, we were all supplied. This latter rain, this outpouring of the favor of God, he says we were supplied with it. And because we were supplied with it, it will bring with it one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. Gift heaped upon gift. That's the promise of the Lord. I don't know about you. The Bible said to us in Psalm 102 verse 13, the time has come. The Lord will arise and he will have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yay! The set time is now. The Lord will arise. The Lord is arising for you. The Lord is arising for me. He will have mercy upon us. He will clothe us with loving kindness and mercy and goodness. And he will favor us. He will favor us. The Lord will favor you. The Lord will favor you. I'm speaking to you. The Lord will favor you. His favor will come to you as the rain, the latter rain. The Lord will favor you. He will bring ease to the issues of your life. He will bring you comfort. He will bring rest on every side. The Lord will cause you to breathe and to heave a sigh of relief. He will give you rest from every affliction. He will favor you. The Lord will favor you. In a place of dryness, he will bring the latter rain. Heavy rain. Heavy rain. His going, the Bible says, is prepared as the dew of the morning, as the morning dawn. The Lord will favor you. Can you say amen? The Lord will favor you. Can you say amen? Say, the Lord will favor me. Say it strong. Say it powerful. The Lord will favor me. His rain will come as the latter rain. And it will help me break up every fallow ground. In the name of Jesus. His rain will produce sudden manifestation. The grass will spring forth for me. In the name of Jesus. This is not hearsay. This is not make-believe. This is the word of the Lord to you. This is what the Lord has ordained for you. He's going forth. He says he's already prepared. He's not thinking about it. He's already prepared. He will come to you as the rain, the latter rain, the former rain upon the earth. So receive and walk in the favor of God. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Go ahead and thank God for his favor. Thank you, Lord, for your favor that is promised, that is coming down like the rain. Thank you for your favor. Thank you, God, for your favor. I receive it. I'm soaking in it. In the name of Jesus. I'm dancing in it. I'm rejoicing in it. I'm celebrating in it. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for rearranging. Thank you for reorchestrating. It's working for my good. Contrary to what Satan wants me to believe, I know it is working for my good because the favor of God is at work. The favor of God is at work. You do not think that when Joseph was in the pit and blood was being shed, almost as a price for his release, and the evil report was taken to his father of his death with the evidence of his garment that was soaked in blood. With all of that scenario, don't you ever forget that the favor of God was working in that pit. The favor of God was rearranging. The favor of God was orchestrating. And it did not take long before the favor of God brought life out of the dead. The favor of God. The favor of God brought abundance out of lack in the land of Egypt. The favor of God brought surplus in a time of famine in the land of Egypt. There was so much favor. There was so much favor that when Joseph had his children, one of them he named, God has caused me to forget. And the other one he named, God has made me fruitful. There was so much favor, like the rain, even in the famine. He said, God has made me forget the sorrow of my father's house, the pain of my father's house. He's made me forget. His favor has come upon me like the rain. And then he said, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my slavery, in the land of my captivity that has now become the land of my abundance. God has caused me to be fruitful. God will cause you to be fruitful in the name of Jesus. God will cause you to forget Manasseh. God will cause you to forget, and God will cause fruit to abound in your life, in your future. In the name of Jesus, Ephraim, God will cause fruit to abound. Why? Because this is the time that the Lord will arise and he will have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. Thank you, Lord, for your favor as the latter rain. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 We receive that, O God. We receive that word. We receive it in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. We immediately take hold of it. We possess it. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Go back with me now. Let's spend some time, a few minutes here before our time is up. This is where I mentioned earlier, I have something the Lord's inspired in my spirit. I'm going to do that in just a minute. But remember, we're discussing the seven most important power points in praying for yourself. And we've learned a few things about this already. We've done, last week we did a lot of reviewing, so praise God. And where we stopped was in the need, the power point of engaging our faith in the place of prayer. Engaging our faith. And where we are going next is in articulating our request. Be articulate. Articulating. That is, spell it out in prayer to the Lord in specifics. I'm so happy about a story that I heard recently. Somebody, a great man of God, was sharing. He went to a place to minister. One of the people in the music team, in the choir, who was a young, beautiful Christian, was believing God for a husband. Was believing God for a husband, and had been praying. The pastors really loved this young woman, and you know, she was now, I think, in her mid-30s or something. She's been praying for years and believing them. And they brought, after this man of God ministered in this church, they brought her in to meet with this pastor, this minister, and they wanted him to pray for her regarding this area of her life. And so when they shared her situation with him, the first thing he asked her was, what kind of husband are you asking the Lord for? And she said, I don't know. I've not really thought about it. I just want a husband. Well, she said, the man of God said, well, how do you want this husband? What do you want him to look like? What kind of man do you want it to be? You want him to be? What are the specifics of this need that you have been praying about for years? She said, I never gave it any thought. Well, He said, well, if God answered, how would you know he answered you? He said, so I want you to give her this assignment. I want you to write down the specifics. So we're coming from talking about faith, engaging faith in the place of prayer, to talking about articulating the place of specifics in expressing our needs in prayer before the Lord. Understand though, what actually gives us grounds to be bold enough to articulate and to be specific is the confidence of faith. And if we don't have the confidence of faith, we will never have the confidence to articulate. We will say like that young man, any man, anything. I've never thought about it. I don't even want to think about it. Just give me a husband. And the man of God said, I want you to write it down. So she went home, wrote it all down. The specific, she described. You say, is that possible? Yes. It happened. The only reason it will be so far-fetched to us is that the level of our confidence in prayer is very shallow. So that may seem far-fetched. But the higher, the greater the level of our confidence in prayer rises, the easier that becomes for us to actually relate with, specifics of God. I mean, God is so specific that everything, think about it, when he created the world, he didn't say just world, I want the world to just come. No, he created it in specifics. And the first thing is a light be, light, which opened the door and paved the way for every other thing. So, okay, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We come from the place of engaging our faith in the place of prayer to the place of articulating. And after that man of God said to that young woman, go write it down. She went home, she wrote it all down, described what she believed was the man, the way the man she was supposed to marry was supposed to be. She put down the specifics of her desires, which a lot of it was as she now got before the Holy Spirit in conversing with him and interacting with him and looking into her heart concerning the desires that she had for this man she was asking the Lord for, certain points came forth. Certain traits, certain specifics came forth about that man that she wanted to marry, who she doesn't know, but who she's been asking the Lord for many years. And she started writing it down. And then she brought it back the next day to the man of God. And she read it. She read, good, 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 good. And the man of God said, fine, now let's pray. They prayed. They brought it before the Lord, engaged their faith, articulated the need, expressed it to the Lord with confidence in prayer. And it was done. He left. He came around that church the following year. And after his ministry, the pastor's wife said, I want you to meet someone. And went and brought this young woman, looking beautiful, glowing and everything. And there was a man standing next to him. And he did not even remember, this man of God did not even remember, this was the same woman last year who said, and who I'm believing God for a husband, say, write down, these are the traits I want. You know, sometimes if you've been waiting for something for so long or something seems so out of reach, you don't engage faith in it. Engage faith, because faith is pleasing to the Lord, and articulate. We'll talk a few more things about that later on. But he saw the woman glowing, beaming from ear to ear. And the young, handsome man standing next to her. And they reminded him, this is the young woman last year who was praying for. The Lord sent exactly specific and checked all the boxes on the list that she wrote down. But there's a certain level of confidence that causes us to articulate. Even in that scripture, that we read earlier, one of the promises of the Lord after he said, I will come to you as the rain. Then in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, he said, ask ye the Lord for the rain. He said specifically, ask ye the Lord for the rain. Ask him for the rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask him for the rain. I am very inspired tonight in a bid to help us elevate the level of our confidence, to raise it up a little bit. And I'm going to try to complete this tonight if I can. I know we have just about 15 minutes, so I may most likely, because if I'm interjecting and saying things here, I most likely will not complete this tonight. But I'm going to start it off anyways. And the level of our confidence is so paramount to the things that the Lord will do in our lives. He said in 1 John 5:14, 15, this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him. So we know that if we ask anything according to his will, what will he do? He will hear us. He will hear us. And since we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. This is the confidence. This is the confidence. So I want us to, the Lord inspired in my spirit here, to raise the level of our confidence. And so what I'm going to do, this is so important, so crucial, is a series of things which I kind of try to squeeze together in one chapter. I've done it in a series of teachings over the years, but I try to put some of the different nuggets of it in one chapter of one of these books that we wrote a couple of years ago, or last year actually. But actually, a lot of these principles came out of a series of real life experiences over about a course of a three, four, five year period of time. Real life experiences that really did affect real life, personal life, ministry life, and destiny, the ability to produce, to move forward, to make progress. It was such a deep set of events, deeply challenging, I recollect so strongly, that the revelation that came out of the experience was totally life-transforming for me. Totally life-transforming for me. And I've seen these principles are from the Word of God. And many times, you know what we need to do? We need to get out of our minds and we need to just get in the Word. We need to get out of our minds. Our minds are always talking. Our minds are always reasoning things. And those, if you stay in your mind, you will bleed confidence. You will bleed confidence. You will lose confidence. You will lose confidence in God. Because Satan is constantly looking for ways to keep us in our minds, to make us believe that it is not so. But it is so. Because the Bible says heaven and earth may pass away, but not a jot of his word will go unfulfilled. Not one jot. If God spoke it, you can take it to the bank. So how does Satan keep us from experiencing what God said? By keeping us in our minds, making us just continually reason. And he makes us reason according to our experience, according to our observations, according to what the things we hear in the natural. And as long as he can keep us there, we will bleed confidence. And if you bleed confidence, your prayers will not be answered. So it's time to arise. It's time to get up. It's time to put on that garment, to put on that breastplate of righteousness, that helmet of salvation, to put on the mind of Christ in the Word of God, to elevate the level of our confidence so that we can possess the land, so we can possess our inheritance in God. I don't care what Satan has whispered to you. I don't care what he tries to do. It does not matter. Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. It does not matter. Everything Satan tries to do, everything he orchestrates, you can categorize it under the general heading heaven and earth. It is on this earth. It is under the heavens. It will pass away. It is not sure. The one thing that is sure, though, beloved, is the Word. The Word of God is forever sure. The Word of God is forever sure. So let's read a few of this here. Let's start it out and see how far we can go before we close out tonight, and we'll pick up wherever we stop next week. And this is a chapter that is titled Energize Your Belief System. You've heard me, if you've heard me minister over at the very least 2 to 3 years in Abundant Life, you have certainly at some point or the other, you've heard me minister on this topic. But the Lord, by inspiration, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, took me back and wanted me to minister on this while I'm teaching on prayer. So the title is Energize Your Belief System. You know, why don't we do this? Let's read from Mark chapter 9. Go with me to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to come back and read that in just a minute here. Let's read in the Word. I want us to read the Word. This is our foundation right here. Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. And when he came, that's Jesus, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straight away all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son who has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. This was a bad situation for this little child. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. This father was in real pain because of the bad situation that his son was being exposed to year after year. And Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. The Lord said, bring me the child. Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto the Lord. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit began to tear him again. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Hey, look at this. This man brought his child, his son, to the Lord. He had brought him to his disciples, to the Lord's disciples, while Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. But the disciples couldn't really do anything for that child. And everybody had gathered together. It was a big show here. Everybody had gathered together. See, this is what Satan always does. He creates the ground, the platform for a big show. But the big show is to demonstrate to the world that what we believe is not true. That's his plan. That's what his organization is all about, is to show and demonstrate to the world that the Word of God is not so. That what the Lord said in your life, what he said in my life, what the Lord planned, what he promised, what he declared, is not so. He wants to show that. But you know what? He doesn't want to show it to one or two people. He wants to show that to the world. He gathered them together for a big show. to demonstrate there's no power there. It's not like they said it is. So the disciples fumbled and couldn't get help to this child. And the crowd grew. The crowd grew and everybody came running together. Because bad news sells. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, he saw all of these people, multitudes, come together. And his disciples were right there in the mix. But you know what? They were not in a good shape. Because they had tried to minister to this child, and this child was not being helped. Nothing was happening. And all these people that were coming together, all these multitudes that were coming together, they were coming together not observing the power of God being demonstrated by the disciples. They were coming together observing, excuse me, the shameful situation, the embarrassing situation that was going on here for the disciples. Excuse me. And when Jesus came, he said, what's going on? And the father of the child approached the Lord and said, you know, it's me. I brought my son to your disciples. And this is what happens to my son. I wanted your disciples to help me, but they could not. And the Lord said, he chastised them, and then he said, bring the child to me. And even when they brought the child, as they were bringing the child, the spirit took over again to create another show. One more show. To demonstrate that what the Lord said is not so. And the Lord, in verse 21, asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, that's a long time. This has been happening a long time. This boy was like in his adolescent years now. Verse 22, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Look, if you can do anything, is what he said to the Lord. If you can do anything. The Lord said, if I can do anything? No, Jesus said, no, if you can believe. It's not if I can do anything. There's no question about what I can do. It's if you can believe. Ha, ha, ha. All things. Hallelujah. He said to him, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus said, no, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe, it's not about me. It's not about if I can do anything. I can do anything. There's no question about it. Regardless of what the crowd is saying, regardless of what Satan has pulled everybody together to tell them, the lies, the deception. The question is not if I can do it. The question is if you can believe. If you can believe all things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All things. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So, friends, this is where we are. Between engaging our faith and articulating our needs in prayer is the place of our confidence that determines the boldness to articulate and receive. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now let's read to the end of this story. I know time is up here. Jesus, and immediately the father of the child started crying. I know why he was crying. I've been there before. I'm sure you have too, whether you realize it or not. I know why he was crying. The moment Jesus put that ball back in his court and it became obvious to him, it's not dependent on the Lord, it's dependent on me, immediately he burst out in emotions. because it dawned on him the struggle that he had been dealing with, the struggle that he had been experiencing was the exact thing that was determining, that was going to determine his ability to receive what the Lord had prepared for him in this situation regarding his child. It wasn't the Lord. He suddenly realized, it's me. Oh, haven't we all been there? Haven't we all been there? He was so full of emotion. He started crying, the Bible says. And he cried and he said with tears, a grown man, with tears, Lord, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I've preached this before, if you have. How can you believe and unbelieve at the same time? How can you believe and unbelieve at the same time? When your faith is paralyzed, when your confidence has been sapped away from you, you have bled confidence and you have not much left. But with your mouth, you are still saying, yeah, I know the Lord can. I know the Lord can. Well, it's not if the Lord can. The Lord can. It's never been a question of if the Lord can. It is, can you? Or have you allowed yourself to be so battered and so beaten down and so bruised like this man, this grown man, that even in that moment, it's possible for us to express what we know is right, but it's difficult for us to believe it. And that struggle is the very thing that will determine the fulfillment or lack thereof of what we expect from the Lord. He cried and said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And the boy was as one dead, in so much that many said, ah, he is dead. Mm-hmm. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Hallelujah. He tore him up, even in that moment when the Lord was going to minister to him. Let's close right here. Hallelujah. We started, we'll pick this up. We'll pick this up. If you can, since I didn't get to read it tonight, if you can, I want you to read this chapter before the next teaching service on Wednesday. Energize your belief system. Want to raise the level of your confidence, the level of our confidence. And I'm going to challenge you to read this chapter 5. It's just a few pages long. You can read the chapter before that, and you can read, yeah, I like the chapter before that actually, also the Engage the Dreamer in You. Though I'm going to focus entirely on Energize Your Belief System. In the Vision 2020 book. The book is available not just in hard copy, but also electronic. I'm sure most of us have access to it. If you don't have access to it, go to our website, www.alicionline.org. And in the publication section, you will find an electronic downloadable, free downloadable version of that book. Get it and meditate, read again and meditate, energize your belief system. I'm gonna have us read it next Wednesday. The Lord is gonna help us. We're gonna pick it up from there. All right, were you blessed tonight? Say, this is my season of favor. Say, the Lord is coming to me in favor as the rain like the latter rain that comes upon the earth. I believe that. Say that I believe that. In the name of Jesus. Say, the Lord is rearranging. His favor is working for me. Say, his favor is creating for me. His favor is bringing me into the preparation that the Lord has made. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We honor you, God, for the opportunity to gather around your word with these precious saints. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of God that we had in this service. Let your word remain, let it remain with everyone, every hearer. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the same. Let this word produce fruit in our lives. Let it bring us to a place of power, a place of manifestation, and a place of fruits that cannot be denied. We bless and we magnify you tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.